Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When we started the show, it was what degree?
Zero, wasn't it?
One. It was 1 degree. Right now, we are all the way up to 8 degrees.
A buddy of mine in Texas just sent me a text, and apparently where I used to live in Beaumont just set an all-time new record low of 10 degrees.
Wow.
That's, you know, that's like 10 miles from the Gulf. Of America, apparently. Is that what we're calling it now? We'll leave that alone.
The Gulf.
Yeah, and down there, they don't have insulation in homes like we have here.
Good point.
Not as much, anyway.
They have basements, too?
Not many.
All right, I want to find this quarterback in a second, but I do want to remind everybody about our friend Larry Schmitz. He's a name everyone should know. He is the 2024 Browns Fan of the Year. He joined Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima at 9 o'clock this morning. You can go back and listen to the 92.3thefan.com or on the Odyssey app to hear what he had to say. Go to clevelandbrowns.com/fans/fan of the year and vote now for Larry as the ultimate Fan of the Year, the NFL Ultimate Fan of the Year. Yes, the power is in your hands. Help him out. Voting ends in February, so let's help Larry by voting him in right now, and you can continue to vote leading all the way up to the final tally. clevelandbrowns.com/fans/fan of the year. Vote for Larry Schmitz. Congratulations, Larry. Let's get you to the next level. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. You ready?
Oh, absolutely.
Here we go.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
Before we get started, I want to get it going this way.
Okay.
Dan received a text from his buddy right after we teased that this is coming up.
Let's get us a quarterback.
And your buddy said what, Dan?
Buddy Gary sent me a text and it just said, will finding a quarterback be less depressing today?
The answer to that is no.
I don't know. I'm excited. It's 8 degrees.
The answer to that is no. The quarterback that we're talking about today doesn't wear the letter or the number 8. He wears the number 3. Mm. Keep in mind, we're not advocating for anybody at this point. We're just kind of saying Browns need a quarterback. These are guys who are available who might be someone who they consider.
Okay.
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 In today's little episode of Let's Find Us a Quarterback, we look at the guy who is stunningly good and stunningly blech for the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. Ooh. Finishing up our look at Steelers because we did Justin Fields the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson. Russ is a free agent.
Okay.
Earlier on, I thought Russ might be one of the two most logical candidates who if you wanted to bring in a quarterback where you could just say, yep, okay, he's our starter, that takes care of it. Then they lost their last five games this year in Pittsburgh. Four in the regular season and one in the playoffs. Background on Russell Wilson, he's not young. He turns 37. He'll be 37 next season. And we know he was really good when he was in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Ran a system that really worked for him. And then it's not gone real well in quite some time. Eight-time Pro Bowl guy in Seattle. One Super Bowl. Really pretty durable. This year he played in only 11 games. It's the fewest he's played in his career. And remember, he was hitting the blocking sled early on. Got hurt in Pittsburgh. And then they started Justin Fields. Russ didn't start until week 7 in Pittsburgh. And, man, he made Mike Tomlin look really smart. As they won 6 of their first 7 starts, Russell Wilson starts. And then, and he did real well in those. In his first 7 starts, the Steelers averaged 28.4 points a game. So they had the offense cooking, right? No pun intended with, you know, let Russ cook. Then they lost their final 5 games, including a playoff game to the Ravens, and averaged 14.2 points a game in the last 5 games, and no more than 17. Sacks, he was, I'll go about even, Andy. He was sacked 37 times this year. 19 in the first 7 and 18 in the final 5 games. Now, I think you have to look bigger picture with Russell Wilson here. In the last 4 years, that includes 1 in Seattle, 2 in Denver, 1 in Pittsburgh. His record as a starting quarterback is 23-32. And that doesn't sound right, you know, because he was pretty good in Seattle. He had Pete Carroll.
Right.
And that was his last year in Seattle. Pete lasted 2 more years, then he was let go. So was Seattle sliding? Yeah, arguably it was. Then he went to Denver. He was a victim of the Nathaniel Hackett disaster as head coach. That didn't help him at all as a quarterback. Then the second year, he had Sean Payton, who had very different ideas at quarterback that didn't really include Russell Wilson. And then he goes to Mike Tomlin. So he's had 4 head coaches in his last 4 years.
Mm.
Is that part of the reason why he's 23-32? Yeah, arguably.
Yeah.
You know, Seattle was sliding. Denver wasn't good. And then first year of a rebuild with Sean Payton, and then he goes to Pittsburgh. The thing I found interesting, Pro Football Focus has him ranked as the 3rd quarterback in free agency behind Sam Darnold and Justin Fields, and said this: it's exceedingly difficult to find surefire starting quarterbacks in free agency, and Wilson is among the top options, even if age is a concern, with Wilson set to be 37. Much like there are no comparable contract situations in the history of the NFL like Wilson's heading into last season. Because remember, Denver just got rid of him and paid it all, and Pittsburgh got him for a song. There really isn't a good free agency comparison for Wilson heading into 2025 either. Because they listed their top 75 free agents and then listed a comp. You know, like, this guy would be like this guy was back in the day for a free agency.
What was the comp?
They didn't have anybody.
Oh.
They did not have one for Russell Wilson because they think it's such a strange situation. Now, did Russell Wilson fall off the face of the earth in the last 5 weeks, or did the Pittsburgh Steelers fall off the face of the earth in the last 5 weeks? I don't know the answer to that. Again, this is where your deep thinkers in the football office, and I don't mean the Browns, I mean anybody, they're going to have to sit back and think. Pete Carroll's the leading candidate to be the head coach with the Raiders right now.
Right.
Wonder if Pete Carroll would bring in Russ Wilson. You know, did they have a? Did it go so south with them in Seattle that wouldn't work, or would Pete Carroll be just the guy to say, "I'm bringing Russ in, and we're gonna have this for 3 years"? He wants to play till he's like 40. He's already said, "I want to be in the league for a while." He's pretty athletic. This year, he missed some games at the beginning of the year. Other than that, he's played just about every game his entire career. So I don't think health is an issue with this guy. Level of play might be. If you're looking for a young quarterback in the draft, if you're looking for a guy, Andy, to bring in as a young free agent, Russell Wilson might be a perfect guy to bring in to be your starting quarterback next year.
Right.
And at some point, maybe transition. And could you see that being the Browns? Yeah, I could. I I think he might be the type of quarterback that would fit what Kevin Stefanski wants to do. Could be.
I could see it. Again, if the Browns opt to take a quarterback with what sits now as their top two picks, so 33-2, first pick in the second round, number two overall, then I would be more than fine with Russell Wilson coming in for a year and trying to help out whoever they decide to pick.
Or two.
That's fine, it's depending on how things go.
You know,
I'd be okay with that.
There's a chance he can still play. But it's weird because in seven games in Pittsburgh, he looked really pretty good. And in five games in Pittsburgh, he looked really pretty ill. They didn't score more than 17 points, Andy, in any of the last five games this year. I mean, their offense fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah, they were on the wrong side of things.
Was it their offense or was it him? If they thought it was him, I would have thought they would have gone back to Justin Fields.
Well, what will they do next year?
I would assume they go Justin Fields. And we said that when we talked about Justin. Those two are both free agents. The Steelers are going to keep one of them.
Are they?
Which one would...
I wonder if there's any chance they
decide... They go after a guy like Sam Darnold?
And just say forget it and walk away.
If I'm them, I'd...
Would you walk away from both?
You could. I wonder how Steelers fans feel. They kind of like Justin Fields. Even though they did do him what they did to him and put Russell Wilson in there as the starter. And that looked like a great move because, seriously, Andy, they were in first place. I mean, they were looking good. They won six of their first seven with Russ and then lost five straight. So I wonder what he has left. If you had to bet, would you bet that he's a starting quarterback for somebody at the beginning of next season?
Somebody who's got a young quarterback that they're waiting to make sure that they're in the waiting.
I think he's going to be somebody's starting quarterback.
I do too. Yeah, I definitely think. I mean, would you trust him to start a game?
Absolutely.
If you knew the future was sitting on the bench, I would.
Absolutely.
I have no problem with that.
I personally think he screams Raiders, especially if Pete Carroll gets the gig, because I think Pete could live with what they did before and make that work. But if I'm the Browns, I'm considering the guy. But I also don't think that, like some of the other veterans who are out there that we've talked about, that, and again, none of these guys are really floating anybody's boat. You know what I mean? I get that. I understand.
You mean free agents or college?
Free agent.
I don't know anyone.
I don't think anybody's getting anybody really excited. You could say this the same thing about the draft, Andy. I just don't think that any of the quarterback options out there are screaming, yes, that's the guy we have to go get. That includes a guy like Sam Darnold, as Andy waves to people who are on the other side of the glass. I like that.
Like we're in the zoo.
Yeah.
Don't feed us. Whatever you do, don't feed us. Yes.
But I think that some of these guys, and we've talked about some of these guys already, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, somebody's going to end up playing pretty well for somebody. Just figure out which guy that is and bring him in. And I think Russell Wilson probably still has some pretty good football left in him.
Does he have 17 games left in him? If he does, bring him on.
I think the last five games were more of an aberration of the – of him not playing as well with the Steelers not producing on offense than the first seven were. I think the first seven where he was pretty good in their system might be a better indication of where he is at this point in his life, this point of his career.
But
he's been on three teams now in 4 years with four different head coaches.
Can I big picture this segment?
Yep.
We've been doing this for what, a week now, a week and a half?
Roughly.
Have we found ourselves a quarterback? Answer the big picture question.
A quarterback? No. Have we found ourselves four or five guys who might be really interesting? Yeah. Problem is, unless you take a quarterback at number two, there's no definite, this is the guy. The only definite, yep, that's our guy, is if you draft somebody at two. And we'll talk more about guys who you can draft as we continue with this, but we got a long ways to go. There are still a lot of guys out there at the quarterback position who are going to need teams and opportunities next year. And some of these guys are going to pop and play pretty well.
Does Russell Wilson do anything for you? That's my question. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Yeah. And yet you're afraid. Sultry sounds of Baskin and Phelps right here on 92.3 The Fan. Thank you, Dan Menigan.
Wow.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092.
Hey, let's do something creative and fun. Let me just make fun of it. Yay.
Are you done? I thought everything you played today, I don't even know what was the name of that song.
It's Cold Cold Heart. It's Aretha covered Hank Witch. Man, kills it on that tune. That's a must listen. She kills it.
I think
it.
I needed to go a little deeper into the song to kind of get it. I'm sorry. That's my bad. I let us down. Cold as Ice still probably the biggest winner for the day. I don't know. Make sure you bundle up upstairs. My mom the other day, she's all over me. Do you have gloves? Do you have yes. Yes, I'm closer to 60 than I am 50, and my mom is still all over me. Oh, Jeff, it's 10 degrees. We've already made it up to 10 degrees.
It's beautiful.
We've had like a 20-degree change today throughout the day. So you start, well, that's more than, it's like 23 degrees for you, isn't it?
13 below.
What a deal. All right, so last segment. We've tried to find ourselves a quarterback, and then you know we started.
People aren't very amused. We're not trying to amuse. We're just trying to inform.
Yeah, why? Is somebody mad?
This is what's out there.
Okay,
this is what's out there.
Yeah, that's all you're doing.
Well, Dan's buddy was not.
Well, you got somebody upset about this? Somebody's mad that we're trying to inform people.
I thought Dan's buddy was kind of fun.
No, he did it. It was very tongue in cheek. He started off by saying, "Okay, we're gonna find ourselves a quarterback. Is this one less depressing?" And the answer was
no.
I didn't think it was less depressing. Would you have rather had Russell Wilson than pretty much what we had all season long?
Without question.
Yes, without question. Even a year later, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm good with it. I started thinking about this because you were talking about Russell Wilson before, and then I started thinking about the Cavaliers and all those picks they gave to the Jazz. And then I'm like, I'm just trying to think of where the Browns stand as far as leverage, right? And the fact that maybe because the Jazz traded those, I know I'm crossing sports here, but you know the Jazz possibly could be letting all three of the picks, the Cavs, go to Phoenix, and there's a chance that could happen as long as the Cavs keep playing well. Those draft picks are going to be late draft first round draft picks in the NBA, which is probably like I don't know if you ever tried to do a comparison, right? A late NBA first round pick is probably equal to what? In the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Like a third or fourth rounder maybe sometimes?
A what? Late first round pick?
Late first, because the way we look at the NFL draft, because of the numbers and the way things are scrunched together for the NBA and the opportunity to play in the NBA.
You mean like translate it to your ability to stick in the league?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about comps the last 2 days.
I would say like a bottom third first round pick in the NBA is like a bottom second round pick in the NFL.
I was going to say early third. So
yeah, I'd say it's in that range.
So I mean,
first round picks in the NBA stick often.
Lottery know, for lottery.
No, even later guys, they stick for a little while. They might not last a long time, and that sometimes is what happens with late second round, third round picks in the NFL. Regardless,
I was doing this thought process of where you're sitting here and you're looking at those picks that the Cavs gave up, and then you're like, oh, I wonder how that kind of plays out. And then I'm sitting here looking at the Browns. I mean, they have 12 picks in this year's draft because they pick up three compensatory. They're going to end up picking up three compensatory picks. I got to believe that they can package together some of the stuff to push their way up a little bit if they're trying to get better picks. I mean, they've got number 233. They got 67. They're going to get the Bills pick. They've got their own fourth round, which I think is 103. You've got the Lions in the fifth, and then you've got your own in the sixth. You've got the Bears, the Vikings, two comp picks probably in there, and then the seventh rounder, which would be a comp pick too. I mean, you've got 12 picks. I got to believe they're going to package some of that stuff and try to move up or disperse over the next few years. Knowing them, they'll start trading like sixth-round picks for fifth-round picks the next year if they can try to figure out a way to do that. I don't know if they throw a player in or not. That's a lot of capital going into this draft. And by the way, as bad as the season was, it is a little bit – makes life a little bit more optimistic knowing that they have a first-round pick this year. and knowing that you've paid the piper on the story, your quarterback.
Changes your talent, in theory, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, we got to wait for the Super Bowl to complete to find out exactly where some of these picks are going to come in, especially the Bills pick, which could be probably, it's looking like probably 93-ish, maybe 90, just a little bit past 95, somewhere in there, where they'll end up with the Bills pick in that third round. So to have those four and then the fourth round pick as well, I don't, are you more apt to believe that they'll package lower picks to move up? Or do you think that they'd be more apt to take a higher pick and move back?
I don't know.
None?
They'll be trying to move up, you can be sure, with some of those later picks. It just gets back to, do you have the confidence in Andrew Berry and his crew to draft the right guys? You know, their draft record's not good. It's not god-awful, but it's not good. And that, you know, that's, Andy, this is a prove-it year for everybody. For Andrew Berry in the front office, it's a prove-it year for Kevin Stefanski. I mean, there's no way that you survive 3-14 and follow it up with anything close and come back for a year after that. So, I mean, and they know that. That's just the way pro sports works. That's it. And so they have to do it. And whatever Andrew Berry does, their assessments better be right. You know, they better scout and not miss. And their trades have to, if you're going to trade up, you better trade up to get guys who can really affect things. And if you're going to back off, you better not be passing up guys, you know, who you could take at number two, who could be huge players for you, and end up bringing in guys who are okay. I mean, it's that big of an off season for these guys. It really is.
It is. And we'll be along the way to try to figure this thing out. We got plenty of time to talk about the quarterback, too, and what they're going to do at number two. I did want to talk about something that Chris Rose brought up when we had him before the top of the hour, and that was just going back to the Baseball Hall of Fame and the guys that were able to get in yesterday, Ichiro, CeCe, and then Billy Wagner, also all three of those guys getting elected because they had 75%. They hit the 75% election threshold. To get in, there were 394 ballots to go there. Dan brought up a good point. Like, who's the one guy that didn't vote for Ichiro, and do you think that was a mistake? And I know that's a really weird way to look at some of these things, and then I have CC questions for you. But I don't know. Is that, like, how does that happen? Do you think one guy just forgot to vote for him, or how do you think that happened? Jeff, I'll go with you first.
I think the voting for the Baseball Hall of Fame is one of the screwiest things in sports. And so it wouldn't stun me at all if some guy just thought, you know what? I'm not putting a Japanese guy in first time around. I'm going to make him pay his dues for a year because he started and played a good chunk of his career in Japan.
And so I'm going to hold back for the one vote.
I could see that being the stupid reason that somebody does that.
It's a fair. Fair to think that stupid reason could be.
How old was Ichiro when he got over here? About 28, if I'm not mistaken. He was in his late 20s. I could see somebody saying, if he was that good, he should have come over when he was young. I'm going to make him wait, which is silly.
Agree. What do you think?
I think that could be a reason. I think the other reason could be he stiffed him for an interview somewhere along the way. Yeah. You know how that stuff goes when it becomes personal bias. I think the other one, and maybe if you want to look at a glass half full, it could be, hey, there's 10 other guys that are on here, and I want to make sure that these guys get in. And so I'll leave Ichiro off knowing darn well that I want to make sure
that everybody else is going to get him in.
Exactly. Yeah. That everybody else will get him in so I can use my vote to maybe push someone else over the line. If you want to go glass half full and look at it that way, I could see that being the case. I think more than anything, and I'll give Chris Rose credit for this because I was complaining to him yesterday when I asked him if he was going to join us. And he goes, why are you trying to figure out who had the highest grade in a pass-fail class? And I went, yeah, you know what? That's actually the best way to think of this. And he's 100% right. Why am I trying to figure out who had the highest grade in the pass-fail class?
Yeah, that's good.
It's not like you go into a higher pantheon in the Baseball Hall of Fame if you get all the votes.
Once you're in, you're in.
You're in, you're in. It's not the way that it works. And I was like, you know what, man? You're 100% right. And I should get over myself every so often. And I did.
Well, we've thought that for a long time.
Yeah. That is true. That is a good point. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out, you needed 300 and... I'm sorry.
Dude, the kids aren't in school today. We're not doing that.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what was 75% of the vote if you needed 394 ballots, 300 something, somewhere around there. I'm just
if it's too cold for the kids, the math, we definitely
well Carlos Beltran didn't get in, and he had 277 votes, so he needed 5% more, right, to get in, or 4% because 277 is 70.3. So I'm just trying to, you know, just kind of 280 some votes to get in, and so I'm just, you know, I'm looking at it, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how close guys are in that scenario. But you didn't tell me Manny, just on the surface, forget about everything that's going on. You didn't tell me Manny Ramirez is not a Hall of Fame baseball player for the way he played and his swing. I look at some of these things.
Arguably the best right-handed hitter of all time.
And you know, I know we have Omar Bias on the show. I look at Omar and I'm just like, you know, when he was first on the ballot, I thought for sure he was getting in, and he still got 70 votes. He still got 17.8% of the vote, and there are people that are, you know, basing his worthiness of the Hall of Fame, you know, on his baseball ability. If they're still saying that there are 70 voters that still vote for him. The other part of this too, and we'll talk about this too when we come back too, is CeCe Sabathia. Like, as soon as we were talking about this morning, we're like, okay, CeCe's in, and he was second in voting behind Ichiro, and you know, he got right in. And then I'm like, I wonder if it's that, you know, straightforward if he doesn't play in New York. Like, how much of him playing in New York made a difference in how quickly he got into the Hall of Fame? What do you think? Does it matter or not?
A factor.
Dan?
I think it's fine. It's a factor, sure.
If he spent his entire career with the Indians,
in Cleveland and Milwaukee.
Yeah. Would he have been in this fast?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Probably.
Absolutely.
Probably.
With 342 votes?
Absolutely.
Probably. I'm not going to go absolutely.
Great is great.
Great is great, and there sits Omar.
Great is great. Omar's got other things.
I know that.
I mean, that's going to be the thing that's going to hold Omar up.
Who doesn't? Got other things. Who doesn't in the Hall?
I mean, I'm still looking at A-Rod.
I mean, a lot of guys don't, A-Rod's but you know what I mean.
You know?
I mean, A-Rod played a good chunk of his career in New York. He's still sitting out.
Well,
Sammy Sosa is
that could be the exact opposite, though, right? That could be the opposite. Because he played in New York, they've got that. I hate sitting here trying to figure out why guys are in the Hall of Fame and not in the Hall of Fame because they played in New York. Like, to me, that just seems ridiculous. It should be that you played the game. It doesn't matter what uniform you're playing. Did you play at that? And the one thing I do like is the fact that it's 75%, and that 75% are saying, okay, you are worthy of being in, meaning you could get a C and still get into the Hall of Fame in that aspect. But this is the same Hall of Fame that decided one year not enough, that no one was worthy of being in it. Here's the question I have for you. When you heard CeCe was going into the Hall, were you thinking, was your first question, is he going in as an Indian or is he going in as a Yankee? I'm just wondering what you thought. 216-474-0092. His ability made him worth it. But the question is, does it hit home for you? Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.